If you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 12, we'll begin reading, and I'll read a few verses, stop for prayer, but we'll kind of conclude this, and then probably do a review of the entire book, one session. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 12, the Bible says, "As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come with you, with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus." I'll also get this out, Achaicus. Sometimes when you're a preacher, words just don't want to come out. "For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that they are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila, Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thankful for the opportunity to stand and to preach tonight. And thankful, God, for your goodness. Thankful, God, that you are still yet on the throne. And God, as we look in this tonight, Lord, we as your people need to be thankful for liberty and the love and, God, a longing that we all have that your Son returns to this earth. God, help us to be ready, help us to be witnessing, help us to be everything that you have called us to be. Now I pray tonight that you would use this message. May it challenge us as your people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on this subject, an addiction that needs no rehab. And if you want to look at the remainder of this, I'd outlined it as liberty for believers, and I spoke about that last week. Verse 12, Paul giving Apollos liberty. He didn't command him that he had to come. He encouraged him. In fact, he thought that it was the will of God, no doubt, that he should go at that time. And he greatly desired him to come to the brethren, but it was not his will at all at this time. And so he trusted in his maturity and his ability to determine the Lord's will for his life and not somebody else. And so you'll find that believers do have liberty. But here's another underlying thing as you can conclude this chapter is love for fellow believers. There must be resolve. You see that in verse number 13. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong." And God wants us to be steadfast in everything we do. We are to show some maturity. We are to be people that are able to endure hardships, people that endure testing, people that know the truth, and we stand firm in the truth without apology. And he wanted us to be there. And surely as men, that's what we ought to do. He said, like men. I think of men that are being strong and vigilant here. And he says, let all your things be done with charity. So there must be resolve that we do this with maturity, with love, but there's also rejoicing. And you see in verse 15 through 17, he speaks of the house of Stephanas, who was the first fruits of Achaia, how they had addicted themselves, and we'll come back to this, but how they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And you'll find that he said that you submit yourselves unto such to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. And you'll find that what I see here is that he rejoiced at those that ministered to others. Now, you don't have to be a preacher to minister to others. In fact, what you'll find here was people ministering to those who were in the ministry. Paul was thankful for those people.
And he said, they're the example. And you ought to look to those people and you ought to encourage those people. In fact, he says a little bit more. He says you ought to give them a little bit of recognition and you ought to honor them in this matter. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. They have refreshed my spirit and yours. And that word refreshing has an idea of soothing. And no doubt Paul was probably angered at some of the things he read when he got the letter. What was going on at Corinth? But they had a way of kind of calming him down and soothing him, and he felt better about what was going on when they talked with him. And he's like, you know what, this can be addressed, this can be fixed by the grace of God. He understood that, but he wanted people to recognize and honor these people. Let me just tell you something. We ought to honor those whom honor's due. Pretty simple. It's not difficult. We don't have to run around all the time. We don't have to make placards and have streamers falling from the chandeliers. But we ought to honor people. And so there's recognition. But also there's those that must be received. And you see that in verses 19 and 20. The Bible tells us that the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. With the churches in their house and all the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss. And so we ought to receive the brethren. And there's also a longing with the believers. Because verse 21 through 24, basically he says this. If someone doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. The Lord come. Let the Lord come. Let them be accursed. And that's Paul's writing. That's his thought on it. Now, why does he say that? Because I believe Paul longed for the wrong to be made right. He did. And may I say to you, when you read the book of Revelation, when they consumed the book, the scroll, it was sweet in his mouth, right? But in his belly, it was bitter. And why is that? Because I believe the thought of Jesus Christ coming back to this earth and understanding that He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to put everything straight, I believe it's pretty sweet. That's wonderful. But one thing we better realize too that comes along with that as we digest that there is going to be death, there's going to be trouble here upon the earth, there's going to be judgment that befalls people here upon the earth. So it's also bitter in your bellies. You think about it, contemplate on that. So Paul understood that, but there was not only a longing for every wrong to be made right, but there was a longing for the world to come. He longed for the day that Jesus Christ reigned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you see that in verses 22 through 24. And so I say this, with the conclusion of this book, we see Paul's liberty toward others. We see his love for others. We see his longing with others. But what jumped out at me when I was just reading this, and I'm trying to take a little bit of a topical direction here, but I think it is that word addicted in verse number 15. Notice that. Addicted. He said, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia. They were the first ones that were saved in Achaia. He says that they have addicted themselves to the ministry to the saints. They have given their life to help minister to fellow believers and saints, and more likely especially those that were in the service of preaching and being evangelists and being used for the Lord. Maybe a particular service right inside that church. But you see, here's what he does. He addicted. And so the word is patho or tasso in the Greek language. And here it simply means this. It means addicted with determination. That's probably not just enough for me to kind of grasp the whole idea, addicted with determination. But if you say the word dictionary, you go to a dictionary and look up addicted, it's going to say a person addicted to narcotic drugs. Okay, I don't think that's what we had here going on, okay? We're not addicted to narcotic drugs, but the Bible says, rather, that they had addicted themselves to the ministry. So it was a person who had devoted something or who was totally dependent upon something else. Now think about this. Sometimes the word is translated devout instead of addicted. But they had devoted themselves to the ministry of others. They had become totally dependent upon doing and helping those who were called of God, those who were saved by the grace of God, and those who were in the ministry. May I say to you, I believe that there's times Mount Hebron is guilty of that, being addicted to the ministry of the saints, whether they be here, whether they be missionaries, whether they be preachers, whether it be preachers' wives, whether it be a brothers or sisters in the Lord. If there's an addiction that we should have, that's a good addiction to have. Amen? That's a good addiction to have. Now, I'm going to say to you that if we look here, the household of Stephanus had an obsession, a huge obsession to minister to those around them. They devoted themselves to God's servant with great devotion. I believe what a strong testimony that is. And, you know, today people are addicted to a little bit of everything. Let's just be honest. When you talk about addiction, people automatically start thinking about drugs, start thinking about alcohol, they start thinking about sex, pornography, gambling. I mean, we go on and on. There's all kinds of addictions. Now, it goes beyond just that. We think, oh, that's real immoral addictions. But, man, I've heard of ladies that every time they go to the store, they got to buy something. Amen. They've got an addiction to shopping. Amen. Now, some of you are married to them. Don't let me know about it, okay? Some people are addicted to buying purses, some shoes, some just addicted to buying. I don't understand that. And some people, you become addicted to social media. You can become addicted to fitness. You know that? I've seen some people, and the whole thing that moves them is their workout routine. I mean, that is it. Some people become addicted to nutrition. And sometimes it's people that's working out, they get hung up. Well, I've got to eat just this. I've got to have this amount of carbohydrates. I've got to have this amount of protein. And I kind of have an addiction like that, too. I do. I just like to eat as much of it, all of it, as I can. I've not seen any of it I don't like. I like carbohydrates. I like protein. I like simple sugars, complex sugars. I like it all. I mean, that's just all good to me. And I really don't even have to measure it. In fact, if you want to talk about addiction with ice cream, M&M's, chocolate, something like that, addiction is something you cannot get enough of. And that's just me. I could eat a half gallon of ice cream, turn around and think, man, that, you know what would go good with this? And M&M's would go good with this. That's just true. There's addictions that you just can't be satisfied. You know what we need an addiction of? We need an addiction of a holy addiction to live a godly life.
Amen.
We need an addiction to live a God-fearing, God-honoring life. Look in Psalms 63, if you would. Psalms 63 with me. Psalms 63, I want you to look at verse number 8. The Bible says this, "My soul followeth hard after thee." Think about that. My soul followeth hard after thee. You know, it's like he's trying to pursue God. He is after God. He's in the pursuit. He is chasing after God. My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now think about this. He is chasing or pursuing after God is what he's saying. You know what he's doing? He was never satisfied, the psalmist saying. I've never got too close to God. That's what he's saying. I want to get closer to God. I want to try to close a gap between me and God. Now, there's nothing that drives me crazy is, obviously I don't do a whole lot of running, but you get these, well, I like to run by myself, because you get somebody way out there in front of you. My nature, something goes off my head past that guy. And you know, the worst thing for me to do is try to pass somebody. Best thing for me to do is stay my slow, steady, tortoise pace. Amen? That's the best thing to do. But because you do it, you're just going to get wore out. But if you really want to chase somebody, you know, you're closing the gap. Closing the gap takes a lot of energy. May I say to you, the psalmist here was one who was constantly wanting to close the gap. He didn't want there to be a great distance between him and God. Man, in our lives, I believe that we ought to be every day get up and say, I want to close that gap. There's a gap between me and God, and I want to get closer today than I was yesterday. We ought to be constantly moving toward God. And so, how do we become addicted? Well, I don't know a whole lot of things, but I know this, that most addictions are things that's created out of habit. Amen? Just created out of habit. So here's what I believe. We want to create addiction. There's three things I believe we need desperately to have an addiction for. And I'm not spend a lot of time tonight on this, but I want you to see it. And I believe it would make us healthier Christians. I wish we had a church house full of addicts tonight. a church house full of addicts who were addicted to the Word of God. They were addicted to prayer and addicted to witnessing to others. Think about that. If we had a church house like that, could you imagine what would happen? I believe we'd have revival. And so they had addicted themselves to the ministry. Well, I think of Acts chapter 17. It jumps out of my mind. And you know the story. Paul had been preaching at Thessalonica. They really didn't like him at Thessalonica. And a lot of them got saved. But a lot of them really didn't like him at all in the city of Thessalonica. And you'll find that that Paul and Silas, they left there. They went into Berea, and who coming thither went to the synagogue of Jews. Now notice verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why were they more noble? Let me tell you, they were more noble because they had an addiction. What was the addiction? The addiction was studying the Word of God. That was their addiction. And they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily. You so show me somebody's got addiction, they're not going to go a few days without it. These guys had to be in the Word of God. They searched it daily. And the Bible says, they received it with all readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So many of them that believed. Also of honorable men, which were of Greeks, and of men, not a few. Women, rather. It says also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. No, he's saying there's a bunch of them got saved. Not just Jews, but Greeks got saved because of his preaching. And evidently, they were people who were big shots in society there. They got saved. Why? Because, listen to me, I believe this. They had a habit of studying the Word of God. They had an addiction there, and that made them strong in their faith. You know 2 Timothy. We all know these verses. Probably, I mean, if we don't, we should. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." Paul says this to young Timothy. As a pastor, you never stop studying. You never quit growing. You never arrive. And he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Bible is what makes us wise unto salvation. Then it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, think about that. It is profitable for all these things, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, the Bible is what we need every single day. I believe we need the Bible. You ever get in the habit of reading one proverb a day? Good habit to get. And not been doing that here lately, but for many years, and we'll take periods and read Proverbs to the kids in the morning. And listen, that's a good addiction to have. You get up and you say, "What day is it?" You're not going to say it's April 6th. You're going to say it's Proverbs 6th. Amen? And you say, "What will that do?" I'll tell you what it will transform the way you think and the way you react and how you handle situations, how you deal with people. In general, the proverb is a book of wisdom. And I encourage everybody to read the Proverbs. So, well, what an addiction that would be if you said, "Man, I can't function today. I can get by without my coffee, but I can't get by..." Notice I didn't talk about coffee addictions. Amen. But I've got to have the Word of God. I've got to have my proverb. Man, I'm going to tell you what, if we was just as intense about studying the Proverbs as we was our coffee in the morning, I tell you, we'd be super spiritual. And Psalms 119. You look in Psalms 119 tonight, verses 9 through 11. Psalms 119, turn there. Psalms 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Let me tell you how to keep your life straight. Look here. By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart
that I might not sin against thee. Listen, I want to tell you, that's one of the keys. If you want to get a godly life, get addicted to the Word of God, get in it. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, be addicted to it. You it may become assimilated in your very being, that I might not sin against thee. You look in 97, well, there's a bunch of good ones here, but I'm just going to hit the highlights here. 97, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Sounds like someone addicted to it. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, and thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I have kept thy precepts. I tell you what will give you wisdom at an early age is the Word of God. It will give you wisdom beyond your years. Here's the second thing I believe we need, a habit of warning the lost. It's pretty clear in the Scriptures. You look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 11 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 11 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now, let me tell you, we ought to be in the business of warning people. Why do we warn people about the need of salvation? Because we know the terror of the Lord. I think we're going down the road. Apparently, yesterday, Eli started witnessing to General. And General, I just don't know if I believe that stuff. And Eli looked at him and said, "Well, General," he said, "you better get saved because you don't want to go to that other place." Right? That's pretty simple, isn't it? And it didn't have to be a rocket science. He said, "You'd really go to the place you go when you get saved." And he was trying to be just kind with the way he said it. You know, now probably Andrew or Isaac that age would say, "Listen, you either turn or you burn." That would have been their approach. But at least Eli was trying to be kind with it, okay? So, I remember Isaac one day in the kindergarten went to school passing out tracts, inviting people to church, and he ran out. And there's a little boy they play football with. Their buddies now, his name's Skyler Purdue, but he evidently must have been a handful. And he got in there, and he went and took one of the tracks away from one of the kids. He said, "Listen, I got to take this to you. I got to give Scholar because he really needs it." Amen. And I told that story at Nelson Valley, and his kindergarten teacher was in there. She was her piano player. She nodded her head. He really needed it. But anyway, I just find that comical. But you know what? Even a child knows. Even a child knows. We ought to be warning people. Not my job to twist their arm, get a profession of faith, but it is my job to warn them with a holy love. And the Bible says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciousness." And you'll find that the Bible, even in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because that we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead." We're all guilty. We're all died. Jesus died for all. We're all guilty. It's the love of Christ that is our motivation, not just a fear or anger or nothing like that, but that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. If we live, because we've been born again, we've been made alive through the gospel, we don't live unto ourselves, but unto them which died for them and rose again. And may I say too, we ought to be living for the Lord, warning people about the judgment to come. Matthew chapter number 9, it says the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. That doesn't mean just preachers, that means everybody. The harvest is plenty. The harvest is not worse today. The harvest is larger today than it's ever been. Think about that. They wouldn't even, I don't even know if there was a million people. I go back and check. When Jesus was on planet Earth and He said the harvest is truly plenteous, we got 7 billion people. I have news for you. The harvest is greater today than it's ever been. And so we find that we study the Word of God, what we're going to find, that there is still something we ought to be addicted to. And that's witnessing people. I don't care if you drop a church tract off, invite them to church, ask them, "Hey, do you know you'd go to heaven if you was to die?" It's not necessary. If you say it out of love, people will not get offended. But if you're one of these guys that just likes to win an argument, you're probably going to offend somebody. But people can tell if you're genuine or not.
Amen.
They can tell.
And listen, I believe this, we need a habit of praying. We need an addiction to pray. Think about this. Luke 11. Now, this is somewhat, it is topical tonight, and I don't apologize. I'm not one that's just strict adherence one way or another, but I do believe that there's lessons to be learned. Luke 11 tonight, and you'll find that this passage has always impressed me because the disciples of Jesus never came to Him and said, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us how to deal with trouble. Lord, teach us how to do miracles. Lord, teach us how to cast out demons. They didn't come and ask that, but here's what they did. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, notice this, when He ceased, they observed Him, they didn't interrupt Him. One of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught His disciples. And Jesus set an example. They saw Jesus pray. Man, I believe that we ought to have an addiction to praying. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because there's trouble all in this world. There's heartache, there's grief, there's lost people around us. And we serve a God that can do something about it. We serve a God that has the power to minister to people. We serve a God that is able to change people's hearts and minds. We serve a God who is able to do great and wondrous things. In fact, James says, you have not because you ask not. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to realize we missed out on a lot of things simply because we failed to ask God. Now think about it. He said, teach us to pray. And so Jesus said, when you pray, He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, so earth as it is in heaven. You know it. Some people say it's the Lord's Prayer. No, it was the Lord teaching us to pray.
Amen.
I don't like just, and it's the worst in basketball, football is even worse. We're going to teach the children the Lord's Prayer. Well, you can teach children the Lord's Prayer, but if you don't ever go to church, it's not really that impressive. Amen?
Amen.
I know some guys that can quote, they can quote this three or four times during the week, but they're not interested in getting out of bed Sunday morning to go to church. I'm not impressed by that. And Jesus isn't either. He was teaching us how to pray. Oh, yes, there ought to be adoration. There ought to be exaltation. And there ought to be dependence. Give us this day our daily bread. We forgiving and forgive one another. And we ought to be doing this. All these things. We ought to be praying. He says, here's the example. Here's how to do it. Let me ask you, how addicted are you to prayer? How many times have you rushed out the door in a hurry and didn't take time to pray? How many times have we got enamored by something on TV, something we're watching on the internet, that we didn't really take the time to pray? Man, we ought to be addicted every day. I'm going to have to set some time aside to pray. But also things pop in our mind. We can just pray driving down the road. Let's just pray. We ought to be people that say, man, they don't get enough of prayer. You ready to go to church, they pray. You ready to eat, they pray. You read the Bible together, got to pray again. You ready to go to bed, time to pray again. Get up, got to pray again. Right?
Amen.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. I promise you, if someone's addicted to smoking cigarettes, they'll reach in their pocket whether they think about it or not. They're reaching and they're grabbing. You get an addiction to praying, you ought to pray without even thinking. And you just start sometimes mid-sentence. Just going down the road, God help them. I like to throw my boys off. We'll be talking, going to school some mornings. And we'll be driving, everybody talking, and all of a sudden I'll just start praying. Just throw them off. I'm like, man, he didn't say, wait, let's bow our heads. Sometimes I do, but sometimes I just say, all right, just start, oh God, be with them today, blah, blah, blah. Just to mess them up. Because you know what? You don't have to. You ought to be ready to pray. You ought to be ready to pray. And I believe God, people, we ought to have an addiction to pray. Now, listen to me. These folks we read here in 1 Corinthians, they were addicted followers of Jesus Christ. They were never satisfied with mediocrity, so they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They did not want a mundane, half-hearted approach to the things of God. And what we find is we got the Laodicean cure for addiction. God's people ought to be addicted to these things, but the problem is people have adopted the Laodicean cure. And you know what that is? They're neither cold in their heart, but lukewarm. That is the cure for addiction. I believe we ought to become addicted to some things tonight. And I want to encourage you, as people here at Mount Hebron Baptist Church, become addicted to the Word of God and to prayer and to witnessing others, warning others, knowing the terror of the Lord we persuade men. Our Father, I thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for this study. Thank you for the opportunity to meet here in this house. I pray, God, that you would just bless this message. I pray that you would challenge us and our spirits, and God, help us to have the right attitude about everything. Thank you for your great love, your great compassion. I pray tonight that we would get serious about the things that matter, serious about the things that have eternal significance. God, help us to realize of all the things that we do every single day, those three things are probably the most important things that we could do. And that's read the Bible, pray, and tell others. That's pretty simple. But if we would be addicted to doing those things, a lot of the other things will take care of themselves. We can get so hung up on all the other things. God, let's always remember the main things. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Pray you bless this message. In Jesus' name, amen.